Hi, I'm Joey Fite from thephysicaleducator.com.
And I'm Nathan Horn from iphysed.com.
And this is the Phys Ed Podcast. So Nathan, how you doing?
Not too bad, Joey. How you doing, mate?
I'm good. I'm on March break right now, so I just got back from a little snowboard vacation in Vermont.
Nice.
Yeah, just taking advantage of these days to relax and get some work done.
Yeah, we've got one more week of school, and then I'm on 2 weeks break, actually heading home to Tasmania for the first time in 3 years, so it's I can't wait.
Awesome. I saw a lot of people on Twitter were like asking when the next episode were coming out. I feel like it's been a while since we've talked to each other. So what's going on in your school right now? What are you teaching?
Yeah, it's been really busy the last few weeks. Like, we've had a lot on, wrapped up all our dance units, so You Think You Can Dance units, and the kids did a really fantastic job with that. We're moving into swimming, starting after that break, so just sort of like in between activities at the moment before we start swimming after the break, but also been involved in a lot of extra stuff in the school. So we've had a complete program of inquiry, overview, like redoing the whole curriculum for the school. So I've been sitting on a team that's been doing that for the last couple of weeks, and that's really taken up a lot of my time as well. But yeah, it's been busy. What about you?
Well, like I said, I'm on break right now, but I'm getting my survivor unit ready. So when I used to teach high school, I did this one unit that I really liked. It was this survivor unit where the kids, they picked like buffs, and then they were divided into tribes, and they had to come up with like a tribal name and everything. And then every class they had a different challenge. So they actually had three challenges. They had one that was like a team-based challenge, one that was like an actual like physical activity, like kind of sports-based challenge, and one that was more like an intellectual challenge, like a puzzle. And nice. They went through these challenges, they earned points and everything, and it was a lot of fun. So I put it up on the site, and I was like, you know, like I came up with a few ideas, here are my activities, but like, what are your ideas? And can we kind of crowdsource together a unit? And we did that, and it was Andy Vasily actually sent a lot of stuff. I know you want to talk about him later.
Yep.
But it was a great unit, and this year I'm doing it again, and I'm trying to take this time on the break to kind of add to it and make it even more exciting. I want to add things like, I heard one teacher told me they do tree mail. So, you know, like on Survivor, they get like this tree mail stuff where they get like their challenges or their clues. So I actually want to do that, so the students would come into the gym and then go into their tree mail and then kind of learn about the challenges that way.
Nice. So what age group did you do that with?
I'm going to do it with my grades 5 and 6.
Okay.
So my cycle 3 students. But yeah. Hey, you're saying you're going to be teaching swimming. So do you have a pool at your school?
No, we don't have a pool at our school. So we go off-site and go to a public swimming pool.
Oh, okay.
A lot of the schools here have swimming pools in them. But we don't at the moment. So fingers crossed, maybe in the future.
Yeah, but you have that awesome, like, I'm so jealous. When you did that first How I Teach, like your gym is so nice. Like that, like this big outdoor gym with a huge tent.
Yeah, it is nice until it rains, or basically, like last week, I was teaching outside. I'd been outside all day, and I was just thinking, like, it's really hot today, and I checked the weather on my phone, and it's like, I don't know, 37 feels like 47, so it takes it out of you after a little while. You're yearning for that air conditioning.
Yeah, I guess it looks great in pictures, but when you're actually teaching it all day, I guess there's all kinds of different little things that you don't realize just looking at the picture.
Yeah, exactly. It's fine. I love it. I actually love being, I love the fact that it's sort of like indoors, outdoors. Like, I like that feeling of not being trapped within a like traditional gym, but at the same time, it would be nice to have an inside space that we could actually go to and escape the heat and escape the rain, when it gets really bad. Cause when it rains here, it comes down really hard.
I want to talk to you about something, because I was talking to teachers about this the other day. Just, you're mentioning that, like, you're doing swimming, so you have to go to, like, a public pool that's probably close by your school.
Yep.
What do you think of the idea? Like, I find that one thing I wish I did more in my phys ed program is that I took students to local facilities or, like, local, like opportunities for them to be active outside. Because, like, my goal here is, like, a phys ed teacher is to make sure that they're healthy and they live, like, a life of physical activity and health, right? But I find I don't focus enough on how they can actually be healthy outside of school. Like, I focus so much on, like, here, like, let's learn about this sport, let's learn about these games. But I'm not actually showing them ways, like, oh, did you realize that there's, like, there's a BMX trail, like, right beside the school, like, where I teach. Or there's a swimming pool. Or there's, like, there's rock climbing at the YMCA or something like that. You know, like, I wish, I'd focus more on that. Like, do you focus on anything like that in your program? Like, obviously, swimming, yes, but...
Yeah, well, I think that's something that we should all be aiming to do as physical educators at the moment, and especially within our curriculum. So the PYP, the IB, Primary Years program, obviously inquiry-based program. And if anyone's seen the inquiry cycles that I have on the site on iPhysEd, you will have noticed that sort of the final part of that inquiry cycle is action. And so action is the sort of like the so what, like why have we done this and what can we take away from the learning that we've done in school? So a lot of that with phys ed has to do with, yeah, like how can you take all of these skills and things that you've learned within school and take them out into the community? So it is those things like what are the access opportunities for kids in Singapore, in Canada, in the US, like outside of school, because the kids all come and play for 45 minutes, an hour and a half, however long your lessons are. But I guess the ultimate goal and the ultimate thing as a phys ed teacher is like, are those kids actually going to go outside of school and continue to have a healthy and active life?
Yeah, I think that's definitely something I want to be focusing on for the rest of the year here. Mm-hmm. Is I want to reach out to like community organizations. Like, I know here in Quebec, like baseball, Quebec's doing a big push to get kids into baseball. Yeah. So like even like reaching out to them and like having them come in and like offer some kind of thing. And you know, like it's kind of win-win for us. Like for me as a phys ed teacher, I'm teaching something to my students that they can then use and go out and be active. Yeah. And for like that organization, for them, like they're actually getting like they're getting the interest of these students and maybe even recruiting a few to join their league or whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly. And I think like the hard thing is, I guess, like in any school when you're the phys ed teacher is, you know, like the kids go on these field trips and they go on in like excursions outside school with their class in their classroom subjects or however you want to do it. Like they might go to the zoo or they might go to, you know, learn how newspapers are made and stuff like that. But I feel like phys ed field trips are never high on the agenda for a lot of schools. So it should also, there's a huge opportunity there for like maybe a whole unit of teaching to be, you know, phys ed in the community and, you know, taking the kids to a bowling alley, taking the kids to an actual real gym or to a swimming pool or to anything that's in the community to give them that access, because a lot of them probably don't know about those things. They're closed off because their parents don't know about it or whatever. So I think, I don't know, that's something that I want to try and work on next year. Obviously the cost issue is going to be there, but maybe if we can get the parents behind it, it might be beneficial.
Yeah, not only the parents, you know, like I said, like these organizations, like for them, it's like I said, it's just a win-win situation. Like probably they'd want to put aside some of the cost because they know that in the long run, they'll be recruiting more people and getting more people at their facilities.
Exactly. Have you seen the Design to Move report that was released earlier in the year?
No, I haven't had a chance to check it out yet.
Have you heard of it,
though? Yeah, I heard of it.
It's incredible. Like, I saw this thing earlier in the year, and it just popped up. I think somebody posted it on Twitter, maybe, and I started reading it, and it was like alarm bells started going off in my head. Like, this is everything that we need to be doing as physical educators, and this just makes so much sense. So it's, I think as I went on, it's like Nike are really heavily involved in it. The International Council of Sports Science and Physical Education are heavily involved, and it's just basically like saying that there's a real lack of activity in children these days and that we need to increase activity in kids. And I think they frame it in the sense of, you know, 5 more years or something like that.
Okay.
So they've got all these, there's a video of all these kids saying like, if I had 5 more years, I would do this. I would become an astronaut. I would do whatever. Based on the fact that, like, with current activity levels for kids, they're going to live 5 years less than kids who are more active.
Oh, wow.
So it's really, if you haven't read it, anyone who's out there listening, like, if you haven't read the Design to Move report, like, read it. It's quite long, but it's also written in a way that's really visual and has lots of infographics and stuff like that in it, so you can sort of make sense of it really, really easily.
Cool. Yeah, I'll definitely check that out.
All right, so I don't know, moving on, like, I guess I've talked about what we're doing at the moment. Like, we want to talk about any people that we're following, people that we're collaborating with, or anything like that?
Yeah, I've got two people, actually. Well, two people I want to mention here. So I gave a workshop at the Lester B. Pearson School Board a few weeks back. And one of the teachers afterwards, this guy, Rehan, came up to me and he was like, you know, like, I was really interested about what you're doing. And the workshop was on purposeful phys ed. So what I did, if you haven't had a chance to check out that blog post, I took our provincial, our provincial curriculum has something called the progressions of learning, where they outline all the outcomes for the curriculum for phys ed, and then they kind of put them in progressions, like you should start like introducing this in grade 2, and then like master it by grade 4, and then review it in grade 5. So it's kind of like that. And I thought that was a great document, because it was a very like visual way of seeing like how you should be laying out your curriculum when you're doing your curriculum planning and mapping. So what I did is I typed it all up. I was at my cottage one day, and it was raining outside. There wasn't really anything to do. So, and I decided to take my iPad, and I actually typed it all up in numbers on my iPad, which took a very long time, but
yeah, I can imagine.
It was done. And then what I did is I added little check boxes, so I could just check off things when I've taught them. And then that's kind of where I got the idea where, like, you know, like by the end of the year, I hadn't checked all the boxes. And now this year, what I did is I was more proactive about it, and I mapped it all out ahead of time to make sure that by the end of the school year, all the check boxes for each that are supposed to be checked for each grade have been checked. So anyway, so I did that for elementary, and that took a long time. But after this workshop, this guy, Rehan, he came up and he was like, I'm a high school teacher. I'd be really interested in doing this for high school. Have you set it up for high school yet? And I was like, no, but if you want, we can work together. And what's sweet is that he's actually gone out and he's like, he doesn't do it on numbers, but he's typed it all out on like Microsoft Word and has sent it to me. Yeah. So I'm just going to copy and paste into the numbers. And it's just awesome because like, this is what I was really hoping I'd get out of a workshop. It wasn't just like that teachers would leave with a little bit more information and like a few more ideas for their programs, but actually get people to want to step up and want to create something. And that's cool. So I'm giving a shout out to Rehan because I'm really pumped that he's already sent me two of the three competencies all typed up and everything. So I'm going to get that together and get it out to the high school teachers here in Quebec.
Nice one. So is he on Twitter?
He's not on Twitter. Yeah.
Okay.
He was kind of against the whole like social media thing when I was talking to him, but hopefully eventually I'll get him on Twitter.
Yeah. Keep working at it.
Yeah. And the other guy I wanted to mention was Nick. So Nick Stratigopoulos. I hope I pronounced that properly, but it's Gracious Wolf PE, who, if you're listening to this podcast, you definitely know who he is. But I just want to give a shout out to him because he works so hard. Like, he's putting out a lot of apps. He's got his TGFU games app. He's got soccer games, basketball games, and now tag games. And it just blows my mind that he's getting so much done, and he's still in his final year of university. So, like he's so busy with school, and he's still getting this stuff done on the side. So I can't wait to see what he's going to be able to do moving forward here, because I just think he's a great guy to have on the team, you know?
Exactly.
So how about you?
Yeah, well, I guess for me, like, going with that curriculum mapping stuff, like, I wanted to talk about Andy Vasili, who is PYP PE with Andy, and I'm sure if you're listening to this, you've probably seen his website as well, because it's fantastic. So I've been working with him a little bit in the last couple of weeks as well, and he was really kind enough to share with me his sort of like curriculum map for PYP PE in the IB program, and I shared mine with his, and we sort of like went back and forth and just talked about how that works. And so the way that curriculum sort of works is, within the PE area, it's PSPE, so it's personal, social, physical education. But unfortunately, a lot of the personal and social stuff is covered by the classroom teachers, and I often wonder whether it is covered at all. But that's just sort of the way the program is. But within the PE sort of side of it, there's five strands, which is individual pursuits, movement composition, games, adventure challenge, and health-related fitness. So there's five sort of areas there. And so we've just been talking about how we can sort of make sure that we fit all of those areas into each grade level at an appropriate level, different things that we can do, and looking at the big ideas rather than saying, you know, okay, we're doing basketball – or we're doing baseball, for the younger ones, the big idea is just hitting, catching, and throwing. And through that sort of big idea, you can do a lot of different activities and a lot of different skills, because that's a more appropriate thing for kids of that age level to be doing, rather than saying, okay, we're doing a basketball unit, or we're doing a baseball unit, or a cricket unit, or whatever. So it's been really good to bounce ideas off each other in terms of that, and looking at different ways that we can write central ideas and big ideas for those units and stuff. So that's been really good. So if you haven't checked out Andy's website, definitely do it.
That's
amazing.
And
he's incredible. Like, I know we talked about him in the last podcast as well, and I'll continue to talk about him because I just think he's incredible. So we've got a few things in the works as well coming up in the next few months. So keep an eye on that as well, because we're going to try and get together and do some stuff.
Awesome.
The only other one, actually, there was someone else as well I wanted to talk about, because I know you talked about two people. I'm going to do two as well. Was Matt Pomeroy. And I know we've probably talked about him as well. And I'm going to give a big shout out. It's his birthday today. So big happy birthday to Matt Pomeroy.
Oh, happy birthday, Matt.
21 today, they tell me. So, but no, he's been doing some really good stuff as well. And I know that I've been working with him a little bit on Google Apps and Google Drive for portfolios, which you might have seen. I blogged about on iPhys Ed. So I've been trying really hard to use Google Drive and Google Apps for Education in the last sort of few weeks to about a month, just basically because our school, that's the way our school is going. We're using that a lot. And they've been using that in the classroom with the classroom teachers in terms of setting up digital portfolios for the grade 3, 4, and 5s. So I've been using that as well, and he's been helping me with that. So we've actually done some of his kids, judged my kids, So You Think You Can Dance final dances using Google Forms.
Okay.
So we had the kids dancing here in Singapore. We then shared the videos through Google Drive to his students in Wisconsin, and then they judged the dances, and we could automatically sort of see the responses and stuff. So that was really cool. And he's just doing some really good stuff at the moment, so I wanted to give him a shout out. His instant activities slideshow presentation that he has going at the moment, he's crowdsourcing that, and I think that has about 40 or 50 different really quick sort of warm-up games, instant activities. So if you haven't seen that, try and check that out as well. We'll put it in the show notes. But yeah, keep an eye on him, because he's really doing some good stuff at the moment.
Yeah, he's just one of those guys, like, Matt just comes off as such a nice guy. And, like, such a hardworking teacher, too. Like, his students, like, I'm sure they get a kick out of him at school, so good on him.
Yeah, definitely. Every time I hear him speak, or every time I speak to him or see something that he's doing, I just get this, like, really good feeling about what he's doing. Like, he's just such a positive guy. He's always, I guess, like, the time difference between Singapore and the US, and, like, with you in Canada as well, like, you know, it's like we normally connect probably, like, first thing in the morning for me, or late at night, and the same for you because of the time difference.
Yeah.
And, like, he's always up at a ridiculous hour. I'll see it pop up, like, Matt's gone on a 7-mile run at, like, a six minutes a mile or something ridiculous like that at, like, 5 a.m. in the morning. Then he's on Twitter doing a heap of work and sharing stuff before he even goes to school. And then the same at the other end. He's up until, like, 9, 10, 11 in the evening, still going at it. And he's got a young family as well. So, like, he's really committed to it at the moment.
Yeah, I think he's training for Boston, isn't he?
Yeah. It's depressing, actually, when he keeps posting those times, because I'm struggling at the moment to get in as much activity and exercise as I would like, and I see that come up, and it just makes me feel really guilty.
I just signed up for my first half marathon, so I'm running the Ottawa half marathon, and nice. I am not a runner whatsoever, but, like, exactly, like, I see, like, Matt posting it all the time, and my roommate, Alexandra Wells, she's on Twitter, we featured her in How I Teach. Like, she runs all the time too, so I'm like, okay, yeah, I'll get into this running business. But it's great when you're running with people. If you're running with people, like, I love it. Like, it's fun. Running alone, though, I just get really bored towards the end. I'm just like, okay, I'll go home now. But
I've got about a 20 minute lifespan, so, like, after 20 minutes I'm bored. It's probably like some sort of attention deficit thing.
I wonder what's happening on Twitter.
Even if I've got music in, I've got Nike Plus going, I'm like because I live really close to the Botanic Gardens here in Singapore, which are just absolutely beautiful.
Right.
Even that, running through there, I'm just like, yeah, okay, I'm done now. Like, I want to, like, if you gave me a ball or something like that, if you gave me a basketball and said you've got to run for an hour bouncing a basketball, I would do that, no problem whatsoever. But just to run for the point of running, it just, I get bored, but I really need to do more of it.
Yeah, you always feel good afterwards. Like, I went running yesterday morning, you know, and then I felt so alive for the rest of the day, but...
Yeah, exactly. It's those endorphins.
I'll start chipping away at the gap between my total running distance and Matt's. I don't think.
Well, maybe I'll ever that's talking that. talking about that right now. Like, are you linked with him on Nike Plus or linked with any of the
There's
other?
No way. There's no way or I would link people? With him. That'd make me so sad every time I'd open up the app.
Yeah, I know. But maybe that'd be something cool to do. Like, set up some sort of like. Phys Ed or PE Geeks Nike Plus community where we could just like sort of all marvel at how well he's doing and how poorly we're doing.
Yeah, well, I've got Alex for that. Like, Alex is a couple hundred kilometers ahead of me here, so.
All right. Well, I guess I'll put it out there. If anyone wants to do it, go ahead.
I'm done.
I'll join. Just don't expect I'll be anywhere near the top. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So. And I want to talk really quickly about, like, so I'm just about to, once we finish doing this, present at the International PE Teach Meet online. So I think there's 100 schools or 100 centers worldwide that are going to be viewing. So I'm presenting on creating critical thinkers in phys ed and using the inquiry cycle and teaching us our understanding to increase inquiry. So really looking forward to that. It is at midnight my time here in Singapore, so it's going to be pretty late and I'm going to be pretty tired, but I'm all ready to go. So you'll be able to check that out on YouTube after it's done. So once this podcast's out, it'll probably be on YouTube as well. So we'll put it in the show notes. But it'll be really good, a good chance for me to share how I'm using the inquiry cycle that I'm going to say I didn't create it. I adapted it from a woman, Kathy Short, who is at the University of Arizona, and she created this inquiry cycle, and I sort of adapted it a little bit for phys ed. So I'm going to look at how I can sort of share with people how I actually use that on a day-to-day basis and when I'm planning my units and stuff like that, so keep an eye out for that.
That's awesome, and, like, that's such a good topic to be presenting on. I remember once I was, again, like this is almost becoming the Andy show, but I was talking with Andy, and he was telling me that he was at a workshop with some teachers, and they were sitting around a table, and they were kind of like sharing ideas. And Andy's like, you know what, like we're not getting as much out of this as we could be getting. I was like, my school's not far by. Like, I hope I'm getting the story right. But he was like, come watch me teach at my school. Like, come watch me like teach, and then we'll talk about how I taught, and then you can teach one of my classes, and we'll watch you teach. And really getting to see how teachers teach in the classroom, you know, like. On Twitter and everything, we're always talking about, like, the apps we're using and kind of like the units we're setting up. But to actually get to see another teacher teach, like, there's so much value in that. It's the little things, like when you're teaching, right? Like, there's a lot of like little routines and things that we've kind of mastered, or like things we've picked up that are just part of who we are as a teacher. But, like, for somebody else, like, it might be like a mind blowing idea, like, oh, like, that's how you get your kids to like get changed fast, or like things like that. So I think it would be great to get to actually see more teachers actually teaching, you know, like if have somebody record themselves teaching and then have other people view it. And I know a lot of people wouldn't be cool with that, and there'd be all kinds of issues with the students being presented and everything, but I just think there's a lot of value in that.
Yeah, no, definitely. Someone, I think, was so on Monday with PE Chat, someone I was talking to, I can't think who it was now, was saying that they were looking at that whole quantified self stuff that we were talking about in the last episode. They were filming themselves, and then they had certain codes for throughout the lesson. So whether they were like teacher talk or behavior management thing, and they were coding basically the lesson and breaking it down. And they had all these stats about, you know, I spent this many minutes actually in instruction time with a whole class on one-to-one instruction, on behavior management, on transition times, all of these different things, and they were just saying how beneficial that was for their teaching and how they sort of realized a lot of things about what they were doing just based on being able to watch themselves. And I guess it's the same as what you're saying, like being able to watch somebody else and see how somebody else does it, because, like, it is really easy just to get into the routine that you have and do the things that you normally do, but to actually see, oh wow, that it doesn't, it's not actually that difficult to do something different, because look, they just did that and that was, that looked really easy, so I can do that too.
Yeah, was it Stephen Yang that was talking about that like that coding thing? Because I know he has his undergrads do that.
No, but maybe it was somebody who was one of his undergrads. I've got a feeling they're probably going to kill me and think that I wasn't really paying attention, but I've got a feeling it was somebody out of Australia, even maybe. I'm just going to go back and see if I can find it. But
okay. No, I totally agree with that. I've been really trying to explore this idea of like the like quantified PE, really looking at like all the different kinds of things. Like I'm trying to find like a time tracking app that will track how much, like, so when I start lesson planning, okay, I want to track how much time I actually spend on my lesson, and then compare that to like how much actual instruction time, how much talking time I'm using in class. So like things like that, you know, like I'm really looking forward to like comparing like all kinds of like different data like that, and just kind of see how I can use that to improve my teaching. This whole quantified PE thing is an idea I really want to look into more, but.
Yeah, I guess the thing that you need to be careful of when you're doing that is then that doesn't become too much of a time drain on you, and like it's like anything that like I've talked with a lot of teachers about is, you know, all of these apps and all of this stuff that's happening right now in phys ed is great, but we can't forget that the most important thing is that the kids are being active.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if these apps and these things are taking away from activity time, then like we need to just put them aside until we can make sure that it's all working together. So yeah, I'm really interested in it too, but just I guess for anyone who's thinking about doing it, just be careful of that. Like don't take away activity time from your kids to make sure that you're getting that information.
Yeah, it's like when I give my workshops on tech and phys ed, I always tell them like technology is here to enhance your teaching and enhance student learning. It's not here to get in the way of it. So like the example I give is like, you know, like if you see like Jimmy is shooting a basketball and his elbow is always flared out, whereas his elbow should be pulled in and in line with the net. Like what's easier, like for you to bust out your like iPad, open up Coach's Eye, record him, and then annotate the video, then show him the video and everything? Or is it easier for you just take like his elbow, like just take his elbow and pull it in, be like, you have to pull your elbow in like this. You know, like you always have to like, you have to make technology kind of work for you and not make it the focus of your lesson, because the focus of your lesson is the student learning.
Exactly. I just found that tweet, the guy, Kevin Studdle. He's not Australian. He's from New York, and he's probably going to kill me that I said he was Australian, but
at least you confirmed last time. Oh, by the way, speaking of that, Phys Ed Games is not like a, remember, I think in the very first podcast I gave him a shout out, but he's not from the States. He's from Canada. So
okay.
There we're clarifying.
I think that's probably a bigger country foul from like saying a Canadian's from the US than saying someone from the US is from Australia though. So.
All right. So, anyways, we're talking about workshops here and everything. I'd like to kind of announce something that I'm really excited about. There's the National PE Institute, which is a phys ed conference in the States. It takes place in Asheville, North Carolina. I'm lucky enough this year I'm going to be a keynote speaker at it.
So wow, congratulations.
Thanks. I'm so excited about it. It's going to be my first keynote, so I'm kind of like I've been working really hard to like try to hone in my my presentation skills. But it just sounds like such a great conference. Like I was talking to the organizers and they say it has like a very much like a camp feel. So like you know, I'm not just going in and giving my keynote and then like leaving and everything. Like I'm going to be there, I'm giving two breakout sessions afterwards. And the idea is to just spend a lot of time around other teachers, like all of us have lunch together and like that, and just kind of share ideas and just meet people and meet teachers and talk about like I said, like these little things that like we don't usually talk about, but like, hey, how do you do this? So I'm really excited about it. It's at the end of July. It's July 29th to August 2nd, again in Asheville, North Carolina. And I really hope like this would be like, it'd be so cool if I got to meet some of the people from Twitter. So all these people I'm always talking to and connecting with online, I really hope I get to meet some of you face to face, because I just love meeting teachers. Like it's just so much fun actually getting to spend time with other teachers and just, like I said, just talk teacher talk stuff. So,
definitely. I know she'll love this, but like, is the firecracker going to be there?
I have no idea. But I hope so.
If not, she needs to get herself there.
Yeah. I love that hashtag now, the firecracker hashtag. I wonder what she's working on. She said she just got an approval for a big project, right?
Yeah, she told me about it. I don't know whether I'm allowed to say anything about it, but it sounds really cool. So I don't know. I'll leave that with her. If she wants to announce it on Twitter, she can. But yeah, it's really exciting. I know that definitely the physicaleducator.com and iPhysEd are definitely being used within the project as key resources. So
awesome.
Maybe she said she can let me know more later.
You know, maybe we'll have her on the show eventually.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something that I think we should do in the next couple of episodes is start getting some guests on this show, because there's plenty of people out there who have great things to share. So we'll try and do that. Actually, that reminds me. So we've actually been the inspiration. The Phys Ed podcast has given birth to another educational podcast, videocast actually.
Really?
So the IT guy in the elementary school at my school, sort of after listening to the Phys Ed podcast, it made him get up off his butt and get his gear in action. Like have you ever heard of Minecraft?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Minecraft's really big right now. And he's really big into Minecraft. He's actually presented on it at a couple of conferences. Like he just presented on it at the 21st Century Learning Hong Kong. He's also did a TEDx, but I don't think he did it on Minecraft. He did it on something else. But his name's Colin Gallagher, at Colin Galley. He now has the Minecast, I think. Minecast maybe? I don't know. I'm gonna double check. But anyway, basically, he's doing a podcast now based off of ours. Mindchat, sorry, not Mindcast. Mindchat. Okay. So if there's any PE geeks out there who are into Minecraft, like definitely watch that. So yeah, we've given birth to something else.
That's awesome. Speaking, you want to talk about Adam's thing too, right?
Yeah, physedagogy. Like I know we talked about Adam in the last podcast as well and the good work that he was doing. And then, yeah, this physedagogy, it's a bit of a mouthful, popped up a couple of weeks ago, actually. I think he's done three now. I think he did, I think Matt Pomeroy was the first, and then John Tate, and now...
Joe Bailey, I think, right?
Yeah, Joe Bailey was the last one. She was really good. I really enjoyed listening to her speak. It's a nice idea, actually. It's just a really quick chat. It's, I guess, quicker than our chats on here on the podcast. We tend to ramble on a little bit, but it's nice. It's nice to actually see a face and listen to somebody speak. And I think Adam does a really good job of directing the questions. Like he has a couple of key questions for that sort of 15 minutes that he goes through. So if you haven't checked that out, sort of check that out as well. And that's sort of a growing group on Google+, which is an interesting thing. Like I hadn't really used Google+ a lot, and it's starting to drag me in a little bit. So
yeah,
check it out.
I'm thinking of checking out Google+ a little bit more. I always loved Hangouts from the get-go. I always loved Hangouts, but I just find I'd go on Google+ and I didn't really see any like content there that I liked. But now that all these teachers are there sharing stuff, maybe it's time to go check that out.
Yeah, well, I mean, like as I mentioned before, like talking about the Google apps for portfolios and stuff, which I blogged about. I just keep seeing incredible things that Google are doing. Like they're really just pushing the envelope more and more and more. And I feel like I love Apple and I love Apple products, but I feel like they're really sort of like they're in a really difficult phase at the moment with Steve Jobs going and stuff. And I just feel like Google, every time I see something new that Google's doing, it's just incredible. Like have you seen the Google Glass?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Like they look incredible.
Yeah.
Like the potential uses for those in Phys Ed are unreal.
Yeah,
in terms of like instant feedback, basically, like you can see what the kids are seeing and give them instant feedback straight away.
Yeah, like it's gonna be interesting to see what it's like once they come out, right? Like I was having a discussion with this with my girlfriend actually, because she gets annoyed with how often I'm checking my phone or something like that. And I was like, yeah, but if I had Google Glass on, you wouldn't even realize I was checking my phone. And she's like, exactly, like I ruin like human interaction.
And yeah, exactly. I think
I read an article too about the issue of you'd be able to be filming people at any time without people knowing.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's going to be interesting. Like they still have a long way to go with Glass, but the idea is definitely cool. Like it's the first thing really since like the iPhone, I find that, or maybe not the first thing, but I was just like, wow, like that's the future.
Yeah, it's a game changer.
Yeah, like I remember when I first saw like the iPhone come out, I was like, that's amazing. Like I couldn't believe that they were like turning it sideways and like the albums were popping up and you could go into cover flow. And now Google Glass is just like, they had their developers conference not too long ago, and the video that came out of that, like, it's amazing. Like there's no other way of saying it.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be, I think that the technology is ready, but I think the issue is probably going to be all that privacy sort of stuff. So I hope they work out a way to do it. But yeah, no, interesting times ahead. You wanted to talk about SoundGecko. You were telling me about it before.
Yeah, so this is an app I just started checking out. So I haven't had a real time to toy around with it, but I love the idea. So the thing is, often I have a lot of reading things I get online. So let's say like blog post articles or even like any like research articles and stuff that I need to catch up on reading. And I have like my pocket app is just full of stuff that I'm trying to get on top of. But I never really have time to like just sit down and read. But I do walk a lot. Like I'm always walking. Like when I commute to work, I'm walking to the bus, I'm on the metro, I'm like everywhere. So if I was able to hear it in audio form, that'd be great. Like that's why I kind of like podcast so much. So SoundGecko, what SoundGecko does is that it takes a web article and it turns it into an MP3. So it reads it. And what's nice about it too is that you're not getting like this super robotic voice. Like it's still somewhat robotic, but the intonation, everything, it's like, it's nice. It sounds like, it almost sounds human. So you can put this article in, and I think with either you can get a free account or you can get a paid account. And I think with free, you can get up to 30 articles a day, as long as the articles don't go over 4,000 words. So you only get the first 4,000 words of the article. So it'll actually just read you this article. And with a paid account, then you can start uploading PDFs to it and it'll convert the PDF. Now, I tried it yesterday and it was actually really nice. Like I was listening to a research article. And the paid account really isn't that bad. I think it's $2.95 a month. So when you think like you're I think they put in compared to like spending a coffee or something. It's about the same, you know, so it might be worth it. So I'm going to be trying out SoundGecko a lot more. I know I recommended it to Kellyanne Perry. She said she has so much reading to catch up on. So I thought maybe she could be using that. And hopefully I'll get a lot more, I guess, reading / listening done in the next few weeks.
It sounds really good. Speaking of like, I know that's like sort of a productivity thing. Like I finally got Mailbox yesterday. Yeah, yesterday I finally made it. Like I feel like I got to, I think I started at like 720,000. And I think I got to like 100,000. I was like, yes, like only a little bit more, a couple of days. And I feel like from 100,000 to zero was just the longest wait of all time. Yeah,
probably.
I feel like I was checking it every hour to see how much further down I got. And it was probably just in my mind thinking that it was going a lot slower than it was. But I have it now and I love it. It's fantastic.
It's great, eh?
So I feel like I was talking to my girlfriend today about it as well, like trying to get her to get on the waiting list. And just the fact that I used to get so many emails that I would star or put somewhere to read later and then never get to them.
Yeah.
And with this now, it's forcing me to make like decisions. Like, am I really going to read this later or do I need to deal with it now? Like, can it be deleted or should it just be put in a list? Like, I've got to inbox zero 2 days in a row now, and I've never been at inbox zero before. So, if you're on the waiting list, like, really, I know a lot of people have been reading blogs and reading tweets and stuff about people getting really frustrated with how long it's taking, but stick with it because it's worth it.
Yeah, it's like there's no harm in waiting either, but.
No, exactly.
No, I love it. Like, I think it's great. It's just. It's nice because like I like how they say like make email work for you, and I find that with this whole like snooze feature, you actually do that because like it's not convenient for me to check this email now, but like remind me like in a day or remind me on the weekend or something like that. So
Love it. Yeah, I like that. So there's the feature as well. Like it tells you to start, like when's your workday start and when's your workday end. So now I have a couple of emails tonight that are work related that I don't want to deal with, and so I have them set to snooze for tomorrow, and as soon as I get, like I set my work day for the moment that I get to work, those emails will pop up straight away.
Yeah. The only feature I would like to see from it is if they could add a feature where it told you how many times you've snoozed an email.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if I knew, like, okay, like, I've snoozed this email, like, 3 times, I should probably just deal with it now. But,
okay.
No, it's a great app. I'm really happy with it.
Yeah, nice one. So, I don't know, like, something else that's been really, a lot of people have been asking me the last couple of weeks in terms of, like, well, when's the next podcast coming? But I've just connected with another PE teacher who's in here in Singapore, and he's been doing a really great job. I'll give him a shout out, Mark Williams. And he just signed up for Twitter and he didn't know how to use it. He sort of had the basic ideas but needed a little bit of guidance. So out of that, I created a few videos which I've put on YouTube now. So it's Twitter for Phys Ed 101. I think it's about 3 or 4 videos on there that I just made screencasts basically. So it's, you know, if you're new to Twitter, probably if you're listening to this, you're already on Twitter. But I know a lot of people that have been retweeting it and been using it are people that have then shared it with other teachers in their school or other people that they know that want to use it. And it's just basically how to sign up for Twitter, how to follow people, who are people you should follow. I did one about, using TweetDeck on your Mac. And I know that actually that I read an article about how Twitter is shutting that down for mobile devices and just focusing on a desktop app for that. So, if there are any teachers in your school who are interested in signing up for Twitter, like point them in that direction because there's like, it's not going to revolutionize their world, but it's going to give them a really basic idea of how to get started on Twitter and start following people and interacting and building that professional learning network.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just like I understand how Twitter can come off as being really confusing at first. It's like, what's a tweet? What's a retweet? But once you get past that, like, I find like the key moment in everybody's Twitter experience is when you have your first really like rich discussion on it. Like when you have like that first like, wow, like I just left it. Like I just had an amazing discussion with people from all over the world, and I was like sitting in my living room. You know, so like that's your key moment. So you just gotta kind of hang on to it. Like, listen, like I think I was talking with Blue Jay a few PE chats ago about how he started off just kind of listening. Mm-hmm. And then like that's what you want to do. You want to start off listening, kind of get to know the people in the room a bit, and then kind of jump into conversations. And that, it's just when you get that experience, it's just such an amazing feeling. So hopefully more people sign up. Like I said, like there's so many teachers that I want to have. That I want to get on Twitter. The phys ed consultant on my board, I keep pushing at him. He's a little bit more old school guy, but he's a great guy. And like he has like 30 years experience teaching. And I just find like he could be bringing so much to the table, you know. And every teacher that teaches phys ed, regardless of where you are, regardless of your level of experience, everybody can bring something to the table because everybody brings their own unique perspective. So that's why like having more people on Twitter sharing, we're just going to be able to develop ideas more. And just get more done. Mm-hmm. So hopefully more people sign up. I'm really excited about it. It's blown up since what it was. Like, yesterday was my Twitter birthday. I got some Twitter bot sent me a message saying that today is your fourth Twitter birthday. So when I signed up 4 years ago, there wasn't that many people like talking about phys ed stuff. There wasn't even like a phys ed hashtag or anything. So like, getting to watch the whole community grow and everything has been great. And I'm really excited about seeing where it's going to go in the future.
Exactly, and it's great. Like, it's even, like, today. So, like, we have PE chat on a Monday, and there's obviously a lot of other, like, ed chats and stuff out there. There's one that's on every second Thursday, which is PYP chat, which is the primary years program chat. And, like, today, there's normally, you know, like, I know that there's one other teacher at my school that's on there sometimes. But today there were six teachers from my school.
Wow.
So six out of, I don't know, 20 something elementary school teachers that were on PYP chat today, like collaborating and sharing their ideas with people all over the world. So it was really cool for me to see because like I haven't really had any part in getting any of those people on Twitter or anything like that. So it was really nice to see them on there and now they sort of a few of them have realized like the sort of stuff that I'm doing and they're asking me a lot more questions now about how they can get on there and things that they can do.
It's awesome. It's just so exciting. Like seeing how a professional development is being revolutionized by social media. So anyways, I can go on about social media forever. So I'm going to stop myself here.
Exactly.
Is
there anything else you want to talk about?
No, like I said, I'm on break right now, so I'm just kind of enjoying these few days to like take it easy and, like I said, get a bit
A
of planning done
well-deserved
for my
break.
units and do some work on the site. But aside from that, I'm good.
Yeah, nice one. Well, I guess enjoy the rest of your
Thank
break.
you.
It's very much well deserved.
Thanks.
I know that you were sorely missed within the phys ed community. People kept asking, "Where's Joey? Where's
I
Joey?
know. I feel
Why
bad.
isn't?"
Like, I just went to my cottage and I got up there and it's like, sometimes, I get so many like notifications all the time on my phone and everything. I just decided, I'm going to take a few days and just turn things off. I miss everyone. I'm excited to be back, but
Yeah,
it was nice getting a few
return of the
days just
king.
to focus on snowboarding and focus on relaxing.
Yeah, definitely. So, well, I guess enjoy the rest of your break. I'm really, really looking forward to mine. Looking forward to getting home, seeing my family for the first time in a long
That's
time.
amazing.
I know my grandma is really excited. Like she's got like a countdown calendar and everything. So, it's gonna be good. But thanks for listening again, and it's been fun to make it with you again, Joey. So, yeah, I guess good night, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are in the
Just
world.
happy teaching.
Yeah, happy teaching. Team Phys Ed.
All right. Take care, Nathan.
All right, take care, mate. Bye.